Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We will need every advantage. And Father Bjorka considers you, Uhtred of Bebbanburg, to be an advantage. Whereas I believe you are here solely to hide, to save yourself. I look at you, and I see a Dane. I see Uhtred of nowhere, who cares for no one but himself.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The Last Kingdom on Netflix. So sit back, relax, and let's see how England was born. Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and there is no way on God's green earth that I'm going to mess with a woman who puts another man on a horse naked and sticks a tree up his butt. Just not going to happen.
Rita is pretty awesome. Yeah, she's rough and tough, especially in this episode.
She does not mess around.
As if we didn't already have women Vikings on a very high, capable level of axemanship, thanks to the How to Train Your Dragon series. Brita just took it to the next level.
Who wins in a fight, Astrid or Brita? That's the question.
Ooh, very good question.
Really
good question.
Good question.
Okay, so before we get into this episode, we wanted to remind you that you can actually subscribe to this podcast. Just find us in any of your podcatchers of choice. We're also on social media, and we love to be social with you. So search us, Mary and Blake, on Facebook and on YouTube and on Instagram. We're all sorts of those places, and we love to share content that we hope, entices you as well. And you can also head to maryandblake.com to find all of our other podcasts and blogs. Last but certainly not least, if this brings you some enjoyment, if we're keeping you company on a drive or at work or while you're doing errands or on a walk, head on over to jointhenerdclan.com. For as little as $2 a month, you get to help support this mom and pop podcast and keep it going. All right.
Well, before we actually get into the show, I wanted to address a few things. Mary just hits the mic. As she is wont to do. First, only one episode in, and The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake is the number one podcast about The Last Kingdom in the world. That shows you the reach of the Nerd Clan. It shows you how big and sprawling and incredible the Nerd Clan is. Mm-hmm. So, Nerd Clan, thank you so much for making us the number one Last Kingdom podcast as we talked about in Harry Potter, in the universe.
In the universe.
Because I don't know any other podcasts outside of Earth. So we are the number one Last Kingdom podcast in the universe.
Love it.
Which is incredible.
Thank you all so much for listening.
A couple of other things, too. One, I was saying Raven last week in regards to Rutger Hauer's character. It's not Raven, Blake. It's Raun. And I just wanted to say I hate mispronouncing people's names. It is a small detail that just drives me bananas for some reason. So
okay.
I want to make that correction. For those of you who were listening to me yesterday and just shaking your head in shame, I don't blame you. I apologize for that. And lastly, there's one other thing that I wanted to address too was Mary and I, we didn't really talk about the battle sequence all that much week's episode. It's not that we didn't want to. It's just that we got caught up on all the other stuff. And what I wanted to call out to real specific attention to detail, and I'm calling it out because it also applies to this episode, the direction in the battle sequence was exquisite. And the reason why it's exquisite and something that you all can look for yourselves when you watch is when you see good direction, you know where you are in relation to everything. Mm-hmm. You can see how it is all happening all at once, especially in a battle sequence. So when you have the two, lines of Danes forming up against the Saxons, you see the whole thing happening as it happens. You see where Uhtred 1.0 is and how he is penetrating the Danish line and how he's going to get killed and how everybody is just being surrounded. It was just tremendous direction in that episode. But we will follow that up with this episode.
Okay.
Now we are ready to get into this episode two. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Bring it on, Blake.
Episode 102 of The Last Kingdom, because remember, Mary, there are no episode titles in The Last Kingdom, which I didn't really ask you. I think I asked you last episode. Your feelings changing on that, or does it remain the same on not having episode titles?
It's the same. I'm fine with it.
I don't know. I feel awkward. It's just like not having a title.
It's all good.
Because I'm just so used to it. Anyway, the director once again is Nick Murphy, and the writer once again is the current showrunner Chris Bouchard, who wrote episode 102 and is currently writing Baghdad Central, that is streaming on Hulu. So go check that out if you like Chris Bouchard's writing. Marvin, your shields rating, as we have established, how many shields are you given episode 102 of The Last Kingdom?
I'm giving it 4.7. I enjoyed this episode.
Okay. And like any particular reason why? Like,
we'll get into it in my GBGs.
Okay,
fine. You like to like lay it all out for everybody in your shields rating, and I like to make them wait.
Well, you know what it is? It's like I like to give a general sense of what's coming for everybody, so that when we get to the GBGs and in our analysis, you already kind of have an idea of what's going to be coming from you and I. So I'm also too going to give a 4.7. This is, I think, in line with the premiere, and I think it's in line really well because it just jumps right off of the premiere. The episode begins and we are riding with Uhtred and Breda away from Bevanburg. And Uncle Scar is chasing them, and that is that. It sets a tone for what this episode is going to be, and it also sets the pace for this episode. I mean, there are a billion things that happen in this episode, and it is all handled very well, in my opinion. Though, Mary, now it is time for you to get a little bit more detailed. Just a tad. This is the big part, the GBG, the good, the bad, and the great.
My good is Father Bjorka. I mean, I liked
Bjorka.
Bjorka.
Bjorka. Or Bjorka. Bjorka.
Father sure. B.
Father B.
I liked him in the premiere episode, and I like him even more now. I like to see his hope and faith and optimism that he has in Uhtred, how he's just been like calling him out even before he saw Uhtred, being like, no, there's this guy out there, and I really have faith in him. And the fact that they get to hug each other, I don't know, just warmed my heart. My bad, why did they put Uhtred in Breda in a cage? I really don't like any of the English and Saxons, like, period. Like, even before they put them in a cage, I just don't like any of them. Mm-hmm. They have no personality. They're boring. I don't know who's who, aside from, like, you have a beard, you don't, and you're drunk. That's really what it comes down to. King has beard, guy who likes to sleep around, doesn't have beard, and then drunk kid.
They all do have names, though. I mean,
yes, but I don't care.
Fair enough.
And my great is I like Breda. I really, really like her. I like that she tells Uhtred what she thinks, and she tells him, I think some of your ideas are absolutely foolish. I like that she is a fierce warrior. I mean, throwing that axe and breaking that guy's back from that distance.
This, twice, by the way.
Yeah, she's no joke. She is no joke. And then she gets a sorcerer and she sticks a twig up his butt. Whoa! Like, I would not want to be left in a room.
That wasn't
with her.
A twig, by the way.
No, I mean
that wasn't
a stick. A solid stick.
It was a solid stick.
Like one you would use to roast marshmallows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that was used.
Yeah. Like, not a marshmallow.
I'm not saying it's a weapon, but it's it could do some damage if you want it to.
Yep.
It could poke your eye out.
What's your GPG, Blake?
My GPG, my good, is, as I mentioned at the beginning, at the top of this episode, it is the direction. Nick Murphy is really nailing all of this, as well as the cinematographer. I mean, they are setting a real visual language for this show, especially when Brita and Uhtred are riding through the countryside, and you have like that twilight look, the golden hour look,
will. Yes.
How it sets the characters apart from the background really well. And man, there is again some excellent direction, as when they're doing the chase scene in the little village town.
The sword making village.
Correct.
Yes.
There's some great direction there, especially once again you get that that crane shot that looks directly above the characters as they're running in and out of the village. You can tell exactly where you are, when you are, how you are, and it's setting up the frantic pace. And then to cap that off, that whole sequence off with Uhtred shoving the sword through the door. Against the chasing Dane. Oh my goodness!
All set.
Again, the special effects team. This is a sub good.
Agreed.
The special effects team with the sword thing, but then also when King Edmund is shot with the arrows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sound design is incredible. How the sound that it makes going into his body and the arrows whisping through the air.
Yes.
But also the effect of arrows coming out of the guy's body. I mean, either that is a practical effect or it's a digital effect. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's so good, I can't tell. I can't tell, and that is awesome.
I'm down. I'm here for it.
I'm very happy with that. The bad, though, so far, I'm getting some Sam Heughan vibes from the guy who plays Uhtred, Alexander Draymond.
In what way are you getting Sam Heughan vibes?
If you remember in Outlander season one, Sam Heughan was growing into the role. I think that's being nice.
I mean, season one, Jamie Fraser is 23 years old, and that's how I'm kind of seeing Uhtred. I'm seeing them as young, bumbling men who are figuring themselves out. I'm not seeing it as like the acting itself is figuring themselves out. I'm seeing as I am trying to portray a bumbling young 20s man.
I hear that, and that's probably not wrong, but I'm not buying the guy's acting quite yet. But
okay. But
again, like any show, it's still, and I think any actor in any show when it's first beginning, it's figuring itself out. And Uhtred is laughing in certain parts that I don't think he should be laughing, and like the way he's delivering his lines, I'm not in love with it.
Okay.
But I I'm going to go with the Sam Heughan comparison. Season 5 Sam Heughan is far different than season 1 Sam Heughan in Outlander. So that's that. But the great for me is the chemistry and the incredible interactions between Uhtred and Brita. It's episode 2 takes significant portions of time to highlight who they are, their relationship with each other, and how much they care for each other. The first episode, I feel like they kind of just rushed into it, like they got into a relationship because that's what the first episode needed them to do. But in addition to that, Brita, as you said, Mary, she is incredible. Like, she is an incredible character already. And you can see that because there are characteristics that she has that are outside of what she looks like, what she wears, what her job is, and what she says.
Yeah.
The way that she is, Uhtred is a kind of character that like runs into things. And okay, we're going to go do this. And Breed is always the one that says, whoa.
Hold up.
Time out. Let's think this through. It's almost like she's the brains behind the whole operation. Like, she's the person that it should be calling the shots.
Yep.
But there's also this great dynamic, too, that Breida has where she seems like she is a character who wants to serve a lord, whereas Uhtred really doesn't. He just wants to – he wants his own thing. But Breida, in her interactions, just feels like she feels uncomfortable not being with either Ragnar or not being under Ubba or not having someone above her.
Some more stability.
Yeah. And that is another great character trait, the one that is – implicit, not necessarily in your face. And that is why I think Breida in this episode really takes charge as a character. And she's really starting to blossom for me. So that is my good, my bad, and my great. How about you, Mary? What else stands out to you in this episode?
Just all the traveling. All the traveling in this episode made me feel like it was almost three episodes worth. Mm-hmm. I will say that there are some episodes of television where an hour flies by. And this particular episode made me feel like I was watching a movie. It made me feel like it was not necessarily drawn out in a bad way, but I felt very satiated. I felt like there was a lot of ground covered, a lot of people introduced, a lot of plot points put into play. You know, we had our big interactions with heading with Ubba, and then we had the interactions with the Saxons, and you know, poor Uhtred and Breida, they're just coming up with nobody wanting to really be on their sides, but you really get to feel like this is taking forever for them.
Oh, there's also another indirect Outlander reference in this episode, Mary.
Okay.
And when it happened, I couldn't help, and I know you Outlander nerds out there are probably thinking the same exact thing that I'm thinking, which is when Uhtred and Breida are riding at the beginning of the episode, and they're riding away from yes. Anglia, he says, sing me a song. And all I could think of, it was this. You know, all I could think of, and internally, I was thinking of Alas, That Is Gone, and all I wanted was the Skyboat song to start.
Yeah.
But you know, like a real attention is paid here to these two characters. I mean, that the Outlander reference aside, the humor in this show is really good.
It really is. It's beautifully delivered, you know, and this is a very dramatic show. I mean, there is blood, there is gore, it's dark lighting, dark tinted over the lens. And yet we get these moments where you chuckle along with the actors.
Yeah, like the line, we should hump tonight. Like,
yes.
She's like, no, that's all you're going to do. He's like, yeah, I imagine myself enjoying it. Yeah, that's all you're going to get. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is Breida, when she says, yeah, you're talking through your ass. And Uhtred says, yeah, I'm sitting on my ass. She says, yeah. So your ass is cleverer than you. It could do two things at once. Like, these are the kind of interactions, yeah. I think, that when you're watching it, make you care about this relationship. Yes. Or when Uhtred says, yo, you have a sharp tongue, and she sticks it out at
him. Yes.
You know, when you're watching a show, and especially when it's your main characters, mm-hmm. you want to like them.
You need to like them. If you don't, people like me give up.
Absolutely. You know, I don't mind when things are dour. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Like, in fact, I kind of like it. I like when things are dour and they're very serious and they're very dramatic. And look at the Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League, right? When that came out. Like, very serious. Very little to be happy and laugh about. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I don't like them, but it just makes those characters a little unrelatable. It makes them bigger than what they are or more ineffectual than what they should be.
Yeah.
And maybe in that case, they're supposed to be. I mean, they're literally gods among men. I mean, it's Superman and Wonder Woman and freaking Batman, right? But in this case, we're watching just two people. Two people who
are very lost.
Who are very lost, have no idea what to do. Mm-hmm. They're just, it feels like you are them. It feels like you are just kind of flying by the seat of your pants and you're stuck with them. Mm-hmm. And like, if it was you and I, Mary, would we be serious? Yeah, absolutely. But there would also be a point in time where we would laugh with each other. And I don't know, maybe get a little busy in front of a whole village of people.
Oh my gosh, right? Just on display. I wouldn't do that.
I would have a hard time doing it. Would I be able to? Probably.
I would not.
But it would be difficult. But when your main character does things like smile and laugh, mm-hmm. it makes you kind of root for him. Like, think of like Indiana Jones. The guy celebrates. He's happy when things go right. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Yep.
And that's what I enjoy when I'm watching this show. I did not expect the level of humor that we're getting. Mm-hmm. And another thing I didn't expect is the score. The score is like this real digital feel. Like, I'm not sure if you've noticed that, Mary. It almost reminds me of like Cliff Martinez. Like, Mary, you know Cliff Martinez's work because I've made you listen to it. Like,
I'm not as into this type of music as you are, but I'm glad that you enjoy it.
You know, Cliff Martinez, he scored The Nick. He also scored the movie Drive, if you've ever seen that. He also scored the movie Solaris. And I love this digital feel because it's such a great contrast to what we're watching. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're watching England in the late 9th century, and
we could easily be listening to music of that time period.
Absolutely. And if someone chose to do that, mm-hmm. great. Like, what are the instruments that were being used at this time? I have no idea. I'm not a music nerd. But the fact that they just went totally opposite, it almost reminds me of Lost a little bit when they said, okay, we can do all these really cool like Hawaiian things and mm-hmm. we can do all these really cool like jungle themes. And Michael Giacchino said, no. We're going to do something completely different. We're going to go straight classical.
Yep.
Because everything that you're watching is so far out there. Mm-hmm. I want the viewer to feel some kind of basis in reality. And that's mm-hmm. straight classical score. This is the opposite, but it works just as well. Do you think?
Yes.
Do you like that contrast?
I like the contrast. I will say the music is not my favorite right now. I'm not like, oh my gosh, I know what I need to listen to when I go pick up the kids from school.
I've made the kids listen to it on the way home from school.
Oh my gosh. Good for you. I listen to something different.
Oh man. Oh man. You know, but we were talking about Uhtred and Breida as characters, and I think they're very well established as characters. But even like the side characters, I think, are really well established. I mean, like, think of Ubba. Like, what's mm-hmm. the first thing you think of when you think of Ubba?
Don't mess with him.
Yeah, guy's crazy, right?
Yep.
And that's not because you were told that's his job. It's not because you were told that's what he wears. That's just the kind of person that he is. When you think of Father Bjarke, what do you think of?
Well, first, I think of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. Second of all, I just
think you're a wizard, Harry.
Of a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah. Like, and it's someone that, like, he believes in Uhtred.
Yes.
And he's stuck because he has this belief in Uhtred. He has this loyalty to Wessex mm-hmm. and he has this loyalty to the king. And he doesn't know what to do. He has a friendship with this person who is not a godly person, and he's sticking it. He has loyalty, and divided loyalty. That too is a real character trait. When you think of Alfred, what do you think?
Beard King or
the brother?
Yeah, the sleeps around guy.
Sleeps around guy. Like, what's the first thing you think of?
He likes to read.
He likes to read, and what else? He's cheating on his wife.
Yeah.
And he feels this pull of temptation.
And he hates oatmeal or broth or whatever he was eating.
And he's sick. And that's different.
He's sick?
Yeah, he's sick. Like, he's suffering from some kind of ailment.
I just said it was because of the bad food. Maybe he has IBS from all the stress, knowing that he's a cheater.
Right. That's very, very true. Very true. But these are all of these. I mean, even like the actual King Edmund, the guy who's getting hung
Beard.
Up on his the guy who's getting hung up on the cross.
Arrows guy.
I mean, that's a character who is devout in his faith.
I liked how he was like, all you need to be baptized. Never mind. Not if you need to be
baptized. And that, too, is a great character trait, because when the chips are down, what does he do? You know what? Never mind. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. So how true to his faith is he really? Right? These are all incredible character traits for side characters that really are just on the periphery.
Abba was so interested in that story of Saint Sebastian, by the way.
Right. That whole scene was...
I think that was my favorite scene.
Awesome. That whole scene was awesome. Where he's just like, oh, really? Okay, so what if we just put a bunch of arrows in you? Do you think your God's going to protect you? You know who is another guy that I'm really liking is Guthrum.
Who's he?
That's Abba's right-hand man. Okay. Like the guy who's
Abba's
just
Hagrid.
Like... Yeah, Abba's...
Like if Hagrid went bad, it'd be that guy.
You're a wizard, Harry.
Yes, that's bad Hagrid.
Okay. What's his real name? Okay, Guthrum.
Guthrum. Guthrum is great because he too has this great little character trait. He has a real dry sense of humor, mm-hmm. and he's just calling people out. And just telling you like it is. And that's such a great contrast to Abba, who is listening to Story, who is the seer, his
Story.
Yeah. It's his, you know, sorcerer or whatever, you know, however they characterize it. A great contrast to, mm-hmm. to Abba. I'm liking all of these characters. Like, I think they're real lived in people. Okay. When I watch them, I don't feel like they're created for paper. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. They're fleshed out.
So yeah, like they feel real. Like they feel like they're in this world and they've been living in this world far longer than what I've been watching this show. And Chris Bouchard takes the time to like lay out all of these things for you and exposit it in mm-hmm. a way that's like boring. Mm-hmm. No, you're just along for the ride. You're dropped into the story and now you have to figure it out.
I love it. You know, I'm actually, I got to continue what you were saying earlier in this episode too. Just the way that this episode was shot, whether it's running through the woods with a horse, with the branch stuck to the horse.
Oh yeah, that's a small little detail.
Yeah, or like you said, kind of that drone/crane footage from the running. Not only do we get to know these characters well, but we are plunged into feeling what they're feeling because of the frantic pace in which they're being chased in those moments.
Yeah, I know. The entire episode, like we talked about, there are a billion things that happen in this episode. I mean, we start off at Bebbanburg, then we ride and we're getting chased through the woods. By the way, how are they not finding Breeda's tracks?
Seriously, she didn't have a branch stuck to her horse's bump.
Right. I know. Like, I know he said, like, go that direction. But you would think that they would still follow her. Mm. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, stats are for nerds, really. But the fact that they even took the time to even think of that to show you, like, the branch coming off of the horse's bump.
Yeah.
We do that. And then we are off to East Anglia, where they have that incredible shot of Uhtred and... Breeda looking out over the burning city with the sunrise mm-hmm. coming off of them. And again, it's just using that golden hour look to give you an effect. And he's just like, well, looks like, you know, Round told me to never fight Abba. Looks like East Anglia just made that mm-hmm. mistake. And the mm-hmm. whole city is just burning. Then we go from that. Then we go to capturing Story. Then we go to the conflict with Abba, and then the escape from Abba, and then they're like, okay, where do we go from here?
Then he gets a sword.
Then he gets a sword. Then they have the chase sequence through the village. Then they end up in Wessex. Then they meet Father Bianca. Then they talk to Alfred. Then they're like, hey, I'm gonna go spy on the Danes. And then they say, yeah, this is coming.
Yeah, we're trying to help you out.
And then they get put in jail, you know, in these little cages. That is like, for some shows, that's like at least two episodes mm-hmm. worth of material. Mm-hmm. Do you think it went too fast or do you think it was the right pace?
It worked
for me. Based off of, based off of what was established.
It worked for me. I thought I watched three episodes, though, because it was just so much, but it's not a bad thing.
Oh, man. And talking about that...
Why did they put them in the cages? I'm really having
Well, because they don't trust
them.
And that's why I played that clip.
Put them in a timeout room. Put them in the library.
Well, because they can escape. They could do things. When you're sitting in the cage and you're also...
Give
them
a blanket and a piece of bread.
I think as... Well, why did they put... Galus and... Claire in the Thieves' Hole, season one.
Because they thought they were witches.
Right. These people know that that Uhtred and Breida are Danes, and they can't necessarily be trusted. They could be putting the Wessex army into a trap. And I think as a leader, you're setting an example. These two are Danes. They ain't going to be trusted unless they earn it. And I loved the editing at the end of this episode when the army of Wessex is standing there waiting for the Danes coming up the road, and Guthrum is leading this army up to Wessex, which makes me think Guthrum is not long for this world. But unfortunately, but in the middle of all of that, as Alfred is explaining what is going on, and we're seeing all of these things happening between the two armies and the lead up to it, they're also editing in Uhtred to make it feel like there's interaction between Alfred and the king himself and Uhtred all at the same time.
Yes.
Like, it's almost like Uhtred is there seeing like, I told you so. But it's just an editing trick. Mm-hmm. There's nothing there other than just him with his reactions to whatever he's looking at.
Yeah.
But the way that they're mixing it in between the two is great visual storytelling. Like, I think it was awesome.
Yeah. it was a great episode.
I'm really in on this episode. I think this is a great beginning to how this series is starting off.
Okay.
You have characters that you care about. You have a setting that is unique, and you have a visual language that's established, and good interactions that make you want to learn more.
Okay.
Is there anything else that you want to call out about this episode, Mary? Anything that stands out to you?
No. I just thoroughly enjoyed it.
All right. Yeah, I think I'm good. I think we've nailed it here. Yeah, definitely. You ready for the destined to be take of the week?
I sure am.
Let's do it. Hold on. Where am I? Where's my button here? I gotta find the button. The button's always eludes me. All right, here we go. I got two destined to be takes of the week. You ready?
Bring it on.
They're a little lukewarm. They're not like microwave takes, but they're lukewarm. Okay.
Okay.
The first one, that curse that story put on Breida. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to come back to bite her somehow by the end of the episode.
Lukewarm theory, though, Blake. Definitely lukewarm.
It's a lukewarm theory. I loved that scene with Abba and when they're in the church and the tension of that whole interaction between he and Edmund, and then also Abba and Uhtred and how that all played out. It shows you again that Breida is the smart one.
She is,
and I love that.
Big fan.
Also, King Alfred, who is the actual king of Wessex.
Okay.
King Ethelred. He is absolutely going to croak in the oncoming battle. Like the battle that's coming between he and the Danes. There is 0.0 chance that he remains alive.
Yeah, he's like, okay, here's going to be my heir.
Yeah.
In case I die.
Any single time that you have a battle that comes up, there's always like this moment of quiet and calm and reconciliation, and like there's a plan going forward. A huge famous example of this is Game of Thrones in the final season.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
The second episode number two, episode 802, right before the Battle of Winterfell, was essentially an entire episode of people being like, wow, can you believe what's coming? Like, and like, you know, the Jaime and Brienne, you know, they do their things, mm-hmm. and everybody's drinking by the fire. It's an entire episode of reconciliation and slow, methodic. It's just like this final moment to say goodbye to the characters that you know and love. You don't really know Ethelred all that much. You don't love him necessarily.
I don't.
But you see him making a plan for his death. Yeah. It is coming. There is no way he doesn't die this next episode.
Oh, really? So you think episode three, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Okay.
Goodbye, Ethelred. And that's when it's going to cause some drama between his brother, Alfred, and the drunk kid.
Beardless guy, drunk kid. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's... Alfred's got a beard.
Beardless sick guy. Okay, sick guy. Sick guy and drunk guy.
So Alfred and drunk kid, there's definitely going to be a power grab here.
Yes.
Like, there's... How can you tell me that the king's son is not the heir to the throne? Yeah, it may be his brother, but what are we talking about? Like, there's going to be some stuff here. And you know... Here's another take for you. You know that Alfred will call on Uhtred to help him against drunk kid.
Agreed.
Absolutely going to happen because Uhtred's earned his trust. So that is that. Anything else, Mary? Final thoughts for this episode before we let it go?
No, I'm excited to keep delving on into this different world.
Yeah, me too. All right, let's close this bad boy out.
You got it. We want to thank you all so very much for listening to this episode of The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake. As we said in the beginning of this podcast, you can find out all of our podcasts and blogs. Need to make sure we give those a shout out. If you're a fan of The Handmaid's Tale or if you're a fan of the Marvel Universe, you're going to definitely want to make sure you're checking things out at maryandblake.com. We also have a weekly podcast covering the Harry Potter series. So if you're someone who once read the Potter series or wants to give it a go now, Blake and I are doing a chapter by chapter, week by week, delving into it, spreading a little lumos in a time of Knox. If these podcasts keep you company, if we bring smiles to your face, and if you have $2 to spare each month, honestly know that it means the world to Blake and I when you join at jointhenerdclan.com. For those of you who are members there, thank you. Honestly, thank you. You've been allowing us to create content that brings us joy, hopefully brings you joy, hopefully makes you feel like you're part of a community no matter how far away you are. That is our goal.
And it shows you again the power of the Nerd Clan that only one episode in, The Last Kingdom with Mary and Blake, is the number one Last Kingdom podcast in the universe. By the way, Nerd Clan also making Harry Potter, the Potterverse, the number five podcast in the universe about Harry Potter. So it's incredible. It's incredible. Our Bridgerton podcast, number one in the universe. Like, how cool is that?
We actually just won awards for Outlander Cast.
That's right. We got the best podcast of Rhode Island. Obviously, that's, as you know, from the intro. That's where we live. Best podcast in Rhode Island. The Nerd Clan is far-reaching, friends. You guys and gals, make it happen. I just blow my doors off.
Thank you.
And of course, again, as Mary said, I'm going to reiterate, go to maryandblake.com to check out the MCU Diaries. Right now, we are covering Loki, and I actually be recording Loki right after this podcast, so I'm very excited about that. And if you want to read it, you can go to maryandblake.com, just look up the MCU Diaries, and it is there. The final episode of season 4 for The Handmaid's Tale is also coming out tomorrow as we record this, so look for that coverage as well, maryandblake.com.
Yes, well, on that note, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Destiny is all.